All righty, we are on page number 171, letter X, X-rated for Christians. This is these are Christian no-gos for the study here in the ABCs of Christian growth. These are meant to be just basic things for new Christians, so we don't necessarily get super deep into this, although we don't want to be so shallow that it doesn't make sense either. So here we are on why Baptists don't gamble. Last week we talked about alcohol. This week we talked about gambling. And if we have time, we'll get into talking about smoking. We'll just see how far we can go here. So a popular slogan promoting a lottery says millions won weekly, but fails to tell the other side of the story. Countless millions lost weekly. Not to mention ruined lives, broken homes, hungry children, and the accompanying rise in organized crime, prostitution, and theft. Our country is a nation of gamblers. From raffles, bingo, and lotto to racing and casinos, many alluring opportunities are presented to the child of God. What does the Bible have to say on this matter? So we're going to look at that. First of all, he says here, shows here, gambling is an insult to God. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need," yes, "according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The Lord's going to supply all of our need. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." So the question here is, God will see to it that his children have all sufficiency in all things. Very good. When we gamble, we are in effect saying to the Lord, "I do not think you will keep your promise." And I don't want to run this bunny trail, but I'll just point it out, a side note here. The same thing happens when we go into debt, is we say, well, you know, the bank, the credit card company can take care of our needs. And I know that many of us, in fact, probably all of us at some time or another in our lives have been guilty of that. But we're going to talk about financial freedom in the ABCs of Christian maturity when we get to letter F. It'll be about probably halfway through next year by the time we get done with D and E. Anyhow, that's something to think about until we get to that point. So letter B here, gambling is spiritually dangerous. It is a sin that is drowned many a man in destruction and perdition. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." It says that those that will or want above all else to be rich, the danger is that they will experience temptation, snare. Yes, foolish and hurtful lusts. Correct. Now, let's ask a quick question here to balance this. Is there anything wrong with being wealthy? No, nothing wrong with being wealthy. It's the will to be rich. It's the desire above all else to be rich. You should be able to be content whether you have or you have not. The Lord provides. The Lord, as Job said, "God giveth and God taketh away." Or maybe he said the Lord. Either way, it's the Lord that does. He gives us what we have, and it is he that takes away. And as God said to Israel, it's him, it's God that gives the ability to make wealth. So, you know, obviously we understand that the wisest man that ever lived, that God gave wisdom to, Solomon, when he became the king of Israel, God said, "What do you want? Ask me what you want. I'll give you what you want." And he said, "I want wisdom to rule your people." And God said that was a very good choice. I will give you wisdom and riches with it. The riches that came with it, he was also the richest king of Israel ever. In fact, it said that in that day, gold was so abundant that silver was basically worthless. You imagine? I mean, they were so wealthy that, I mean, it was like, I mean, silver's like, you know, it's like pennies, you know, or worse, or even less worth. So it was a time of great wealth and all that. So there's nothing wrong with having wealth. It's just when your desire above all other things is that you will be rich, that's when you run into temptation, a snare, and foolish and hurtful lust. And it, you know, those of us who are in business, you're in business, whether you think about it or not, you are. And maybe eventually you'll expand a little bit, have your own train the trainer type thing, and you'll be training trainers, and you'll have other trainers that are doing training, and maybe have your own gym or something like that. Who knows? Not because you have a will to be rich, but because you want to be a help to society. You want to be a help to your family, and maybe the Lord would have you to expand things. That's okay. But in doing so, you and I, as we do business and others, we have to consider that sometimes we can go overboard on the business side too. Sometimes I'll get too busy doing business. You know, there were some weeks this month or this year, where I spent a lot of time working. And I did really, really well those weeks. And in fact, when I think back at what I used to make when I was, like years ago when I was a teenager, when I first started working, I made more in 1 month than I made in 6 months when I was a teenager. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. But then somewhere along the third week of doing that, I thought, man, I have got to settle down. I've got to lay off on this. I've got to move my focus, because my focus is getting in the wrong place. And there's temptation when you get into that area. Now, the temptation isn't necessarily a lot of it's the temptation really is to keep going. The temptation is, hey, if I do this all year round, then this is the result that I get. That's a snare. And there's many foolish and hurtful lusts because you don't work on things that you need to be working on because you're focusing on being rich. That makes sense. So we're talking about business, which is a legitimate way to gain wealth, but you still have to watch out for that temptation, the snare, and the foolish and hurtful lust. But in our lesson here, we're talking about gambling, and that's getting something for nothing. Essentially, it's putting money in for gain. And let me mention also that gambling is different from investing. You know, there's people that play the stock market. There's a fine line there. If you're investing properly, you're paying attention to what you're putting your money into. It's like that car company that I think I was telling you about, that car. I invested in that company. Like, I bought shares in that company because it's a starting up company, and I am convinced that they're probably going to do well. I'm not gambling on it, although there is a matter of chance involved, but it's not so much chance as it is my confidence that they're going to do well in business. And so I say, I think you're going to do a good job in business, so I'm going to help you get started. And then if you do well, I'll benefit, you'll benefit. If you don't do well, well, I helped you get started. Oh, well, you know, there's a lot of situations like that where I'll see, you know, somebody has an idea. They're like, hey, I want to do this. And I'm like, that's a great idea. What do you need to get started? And we'll get it started and help them get started. Sometimes you benefit, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just do it because you love them and you want to help them. You know, I've got friends that have gone into business, and I've had the opportunity to just kind of help them get started, whatever. Most of the time it's not, you know, throwing money at them. Sometimes it's like, hey, I'll help you get started. Like, I don't know why, but cleaning businesses, you know, and it's like, hey, I'll help you get started. You know, we'll help you get business, and then I'll help you clean stuff. Oh my, I was cleaning last night, believe it or not. with Brother Adams, Pastor Adams. He gave me a ride to go get the van, so I told him I would help him clean the building he was cleaning down in Greenwood. And he's like, man, you need to come help me sell some business and stuff. And I'm like, don't drag me into this, man. But by the time we were done, I said, you know what? I'll ask around. I'll talk around a little bit. Maybe we can, you know, whatever. So, but it's an opportunity to help him or whatever. But the idea here, just like, you know, he and I said, as we were talking last night, we want to make sure that it doesn't become about willing to be rich. We want to make sure that, you know, yes, expand his business, but what? Why expand his business? Why does he want to do that? Well, because if he can expand it enough to put someone else in charge of it as a steward, then he can profit from the work that he put into it and back off and focus on pastoring. That's the idea. And I'm kind of kicking around a little bit of that kind of thing this year as well, about maybe opening my own adjusting firm and having other adjusters doing some work. And you know, anyways, but it's not about willing to be rich. It's about the end result of that, the goal, the reason, the purpose, and being content with having or not having, you know, whether you're successful or not. I would say success is going to be, in fact, the Bible, the only passage I can think of right now that has the word success in it is Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Not good success necessarily in the business world, but the success in life, having the word of God in your mouth, in your heart, it makes you successful in life, in the spiritual realm. Letter C, gambling is basically selfish. Gambling seeks prosperity at the expense of others. You know, people don't really think about that. When I was at the gas station over here, the BP Connect, we were donating some clothes and some other items. There's this like donation like box there. Yeah, it's like a dumpster looking thing. Yeah, and we're like, hey, you know, we were going down. Actually, somebody donated. We got more dressers. You know, we got rid of the ones that we just got, gave them to Brother Adams. But my mom's boss, his dad passed away, and they were trying to get all the stuff out. And he's like, hey, come get these dressers. And so the boys got new dressers. They're like solid wood, heavy duty antique dressers. So we were like, well, we need to take this stuff and donate it. So we were trying to find a place to donate it on the way down. Well, I'm making a short story long, but we dumped the stuff, and I was like, man, I need to go in and get something to drink. So I go inside the BP Connect. I'm standing there waiting in line, and I'm looking, and there's this sign or this picture of this guy holding a check for $50,000 that he won on the lottery. And I thought, wow, that guy's really happy about that $50,000 he won. Just broke that. I'm thinking, I wonder how much he has paid into the lottery over the years. Probably more. Who knows? Some people play the lottery every day to the tune of anywhere from $1 a day, $20 a day, more than that sometimes. I mean, people totally waste money with that a lot, often. And I thought, man, I wonder how much that guy spent to get the $50,000. Who knows? Maybe he just one time bought his first ticket and won $50,000. You know, but the fact is, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands and thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people paid into that lottery pot for him to win that $50,000. And they paid way more than $50,000. That's why the casinos and the lottery companies do very well, is because they don't lose, you know, with the money that comes in. And insurance is similar to that, but it's not necessarily a gamble. They use the concept of the law of large numbers, and lottery uses a similar concept, but they use it to their advantage on the other side, and the governments allow that to go ahead and happen. Whereas insurance companies are limited in the amount of profit that they can gain on their policies. So they can only get a certain percentage of profit. They're actually regulated at that so that they don't become lottery companies instead of insurance companies. So when people pay in, the idea is the law of large numbers. You have a large number of people paying in, so you have a big pool. And then when you have a large loss, it comes out of the big pool. And you can calculate the probability of a certain amount of loss every year, and that's how you figure your policy premiums. So, and that's the way it works for life insurance, health insurance, dental, vision, property, auto, all of that. It all is based upon the law of large numbers and the probabilities of loss for different, you know, different demographics of losses. So I don't want to have a insurance speech today, but the idea though is they use that same concept that, well, so many winners are there. It's all off of chance, but the chance still has a probability in it. And they actually, if you ever look at a lottery ticket, like the scratch off thing, flip it over and read, I believe that most of them, it may actually be law that they have to post the probability of winning. And on the back, if you look, I've seen, you know, chances of winning one in like millions or billions. And you think one person out of all of these people will win that prize. And how much was that one ticket? Think about that. If you're going to win, if you're going to win the $50,000 or whatever, and it's a one in a million chance that you're going to win, think about that. If it's a dollar ticket, how much was paid in? One in a million, there were $1 million paid. $1 million paid in, and one person got $50,000. Think about that. Who's really winning there? Not the people paying in, but the lottery company. They got 900,000, 950,000, right? Yeah, because at least 50,000 left over. I'm, see, it's Sunday. What's that? Do I know? It's been a long time. That's a good question, though. It's a good question. It's been a long time, I'm sure. But no, I don't. That's a good question to look into. When the lottery originated. Some random facts I do know. But I don't know. That would have been a good thing to figure out, though. That was a good question. When the lottery originated. Somebody should Google that and figure it out. Yeah, figure it out while we're doing the next point here. But pay attention. So gambling is basically selfish. It says gambling seeks prosperity at the expense of others. And we have the last commandment of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. And then obviously it like gives a list. Thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So it's like, you know, you go over to your neighbor's house and you're like, hey, that's pretty cool. I want it. You know, you don't covet that. So no one gambles to lose. I mean, that wouldn't make sense, would it? Hey, I'm going to go to the store and throw a dollar in the trash, you know, or $20 or whatever it is. No one gambles to lose. The prime motivation for all forms of gambling is to gain what is not owned, and that is covetousness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So this verse does not teach that money is a problem, but rather the love of money. Very good. It's nice to have this thing. I can just point at the answer. And then it, oh yeah? Did you figure it out? No? All right. Irrelevant, yeah. Well, if it's harder, if it's not easy to find within a minute or two, it's probably a study for another time. So Genesis 3, verse 19 says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." God intends man to live by the sweat of his face. That is to work for a living. It's a principle of God that we must be work, or that we must be, or that there must be, sorry, there must be work before wealth, sowing before reaping. Gambling abrogates God's natural law because the gambler seeks to reap what others have sown. There's a certain level of reaping where I want to balance this too. Gambling focuses on that. However, some of these statements here, if you take it and apply it in any other sense, it may not apply the same way. So, for example, there are lots of jobs that you can do where you produce value for other people and it's worth them paying you for. Okay, that's the idea of a job, right? You produce value and they pay you what you have shown that you're worth. So whether it's working in a field and sweating, or whether you trade labor time for money, or whether you trade a certain talent for money, you produce value for the company or for the people that, or for customers, and they are willing to pay what they think that value is worth. And so that's how you get paid. So sometimes you sweat, sometimes you don't, when it comes to that. Also kind of depends on the time of year, right? It's like I do claims in the wintertime and I rarely ever sweat doing those. Sometimes I do though, but it's right. Yeah. This time of year, man, you get on a roof, you're freezing, not sweating. Actually, depends on how high the roof is, because you might be sweating climbing up there. It's the idea here is you work for wealth, not just get it. Now, in some cases where maybe your parents worked and you inherited some of their work, in order to keep it, unless they did like really well, in order to keep it, you have to produce enough value to maintain it. It's funny. Melissa said this morning that Amelia said she was a lot like me and she wanted to do insurance adjusting when she gets older. I was like, it's a good thing to do. I mean, there's plenty of opportunity in that realm, but you do have to be able to produce something that's of value to other people. There's a lot of insurance adjusters that may not have done so well this year because they have a certain specific talent for specific types of claims, but they can't handle other types of claims. Well, if your niche isn't in vogue at the time, or if it isn't the what's happening, you know, if you only do hail claims and there was no hailstorm this year in this area, well, you're kind of broke because you can't produce value for someone that doesn't need that particular talent that time, that part of the year. So that's where a lot of those guys that do mainly hailstorms or hail claims, they'll do catastrophe claims. So they'll travel the whole country to do insurance adjusting for a specific type of claim all over the place. You can. It's not a matter of license for certain things. It's a matter of ability. So if you, like when I first got started, first thing I learned was hail claims because it's the most common, is, well, when there's big storms, it's the most common. And so, you know, for the nice thing is the very next deployment I went on was it was water claims. It was backup of sewer and drain deployment with wind and hail also. So I got experience doing inside the house too, and contents along with that. And so it opened the door to a whole lot more stuff. And, you know, and then as I started doing daily claims, you know, theft comes out. You know, okay, what do I do for a theft claim? Well, I do this and this and this and this. So now get a theft claim, and I know exactly what I've got to do. You know, I had one yesterday. I showed up, and we got his list. I told him to get a police report, so on and so on. So the idea is here that you're able to produce a value that's worth paying for your customer. You don't do insurance. You do personal training, and people need that. People need that. You know, when they don't know how to properly eat and properly exercise and keep themselves in good health, they either are going to go see a doctor because now they have diseases and other problems that are caused by poor health, or they're going to go see a personal trainer to learn how to do what they're supposed to be doing to take care of their body so that they don't have to go to the doctor. You're kind of an insurance policy for people. You keep them from going to the doctor. It helps their insurance, helps their health and everything, but you produce a value that people are willing to pay for. If everybody was healthy, there would be no need for what you do. You'd find something else to do to produce value for something, you know. So, and a similar thing, if everyone was independently wealthy, everyone in the whole country was independently wealthy, and there was no need for insurance because they could all just pay for any problems that they had, there'd be no need for my job, you know. But because people aren't independently wealthy and they have to pool their money to be able to handle large losses like insurance covers, then that's provides a need where I'm able to produce some value to adjust that. And there's tons of other factors that are involved in me being able to do adjusting. You know, some companies have staff adjusters, and so they don't need an outside guy like me. So, you know, there's a ton of different things, but the idea is that we produce a certain value to get value returned to us. Wealth, food, whatever it is, you know. And so that's where I was going with that. Someone taking a business from a parent, something like that. Like if you build a business and your child takes over that business when they grow up or whatever, you know, the idea is, you know, they're going to be sowing where you reaped. I'm sorry, they're going to be reaping where you sowed, backwards. They're going to be reaping where you've sown. But that's not necessarily wrong. Where it would be wrong is if they expected to reap where you have sown without continuing to sow. It's like, for example, a farmer buys, you know, he spends a lot of his early life buying a farm, buying the animals, buying, you know, the seed, all the stuff that's needed to get started, the equipment, buildings, getting everything ready, pours everything into it. And by the time he's ready to retire, it's profitable. And so he says, I've started a family farm. My children are going to take it over. And his children decide they're going to take it over, but they don't want to plow the fields, and they don't want to feed the cattle, and they don't want to milk the cows. They don't want to go out and get the eggs. Well, they can't. They have to be able to produce at least a certain level of value in order to continue to reap the blessings that the father has worked so hard for. So that, you know, they inherited a lot because the guy, you know, poured so much into it. But even though they inherited so much, they, that's just the cutest little face there. He's like, getting my lotion on here. but they inherited so much, but they have to work to maintain it. So there's nothing wrong with that. Where it's wrong is when you say, well, Pop's worked real hard, I'm just going to kick back and enjoy it. Well, you got to put some value in to maintain it. And so gambling is it's similar to that, but it's like on a totally different level. You're just like, well, I'm just going to throw this dollar and hopefully it'll turn into a million. You know, it's expecting. And really the way it's working is it's like, hey, I'll give you a dollar if all 1 million of you people throw another dollar in and decide that you're going to throw 50,000 at me for it. Yeah, that's not quite the right way. We're going to talk a little bit about some other things. Some other things popped in my mind. I don't want to jump into that yet. We may or may not talk about it. So we're obviously not going to finish. We're going to finish this subject, but not. We're not going to get into the next one. Yes.
So Emily,
do
they have to be like,
no. There's a difference, though, between, like, say you're at the mall, and, you know, there's this cool looking car, and it's like, fill out this thing for sweepstakes. That's a difference. You know, you fill it out for a chance to win thing. That's different than fill it out, pay a dollar. You know, it's when it's taking from others for it, you know, I mean, an opportunity to win something or something like that. I mean, that's, you don't want to like focus your life on those things. But I don't see that as the same thing as gambling. Gambling is where you where multiple people, lots of people, throw in money for into a pool, and then someone by chance wins it. Now there are other ways that think it's and that's by chance. The key factor there is that it's by chance. It's not by producing value. There is a difference when, like, say we go have like an outing, men's outing, and we go to the shooting range, and we say, okay, we're all going to pay in $10. It's $8 for the range for each person. Everybody pays in $10. So you overpaid by $2. So that $2 is going to go into a pool, and we're going to compete for it. We're not gambling on the chance that someone else will win. We're competing on the confidence that I will win. And, you know, it's a shooting match, whatever. It's winning a prize. There's a difference between winning a prize when you work for it and winning a prize when someone else works for it. That makes sense? It's different. That's a difference between saying the Colts are going to win today and I got $20 on it that they're going to win so that I can win $20 that they worked for. That's different. You know, it's different from, you know, we're going to go to the shooting range and I'm going to shoot more bullseyes than you are. And it's not by chance. I'm just going to do it. You know, that's the, I'm not challenging you, brother. Hey, by the way, there's a new shooting range over behind the Walmart in Greenwood called Point or On Point or something like that. I was driving back behind there and saw it. What's that?
Indoor.
Mm-hmm. You can use, you can shoot anything there, though, I heard. You can, well, you know, within reason. Right. It looked like it. It's, but I heard, a friend of mine told me about it, and I heard you can take, you know, big rifles in there and stuff. And so, but to go have a, like, Sunday afternoon outing over there if they're open on Sundays sometime. If we weren't driving a long way today, maybe we could do it, but. So anyways, gambling is poor stewardship. Nobody ever really wins by indulging in gambling. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So God requires Christians to be good stewards over all that has been given to his hand. That's the stewardship there. It's a responsibility to use what God gives us for the best benefit of, really, of the Lord. What he would have us to do with it. It all belongs to him. It's something I was talking to Brother Aaron yesterday. We were talking about vehicles and whatever. He's like, man, you got too many vehicles. I said, no, none of them are mine. So he's like, what? I said, yeah, they all belong to the Lord. He's like, well, you should just give me one then. I'm like, well, it's the Lord's, and he hasn't told me to give it to you, so I'm going to hang on to it for now. If you need to use it sometime, let me know. As long as you're a good steward, no problem. But the Lord expects us to be good stewards of his property. The money that we have in our bank account, that's not my money. The money in your bank account's not your money, it's the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord. And so, you know, it's because all things belong to him. He owns the world and all that is therein, and he owns you. He bought you. With a price. Not only did he buy you with a price, he owned you twice. Like, he made you, so he owned you. And then on top of making you, he died and paid for you again to own you twice. It's like, I'm bought twice. It's like he paid double for me. Praise the Lord. That shows that, you know, he really cares about us. But along with that, everything that he gives us as a stewardship, or in this stewardship, we have a responsibility to use that to his benefit, to use it for his glory. And so think about that when you go to the grocery store, when you write up your list of things that you need to get, when you do your Christmas list or your, you know, or go buy things for other people. What can I buy, or what should I buy that brings most glory to God? Or what would the owner of my money, or this money that I have in my bank account, what would he have me to use it for? What would best benefit him? And, you know, most of the time, that's going to be, well, obviously, you're going to buy food, you're going to buy clothes, you're going to buy the things that you need for your life, for, you know, because your body is also something that you should be taking care of as a steward, because it belongs to God, and he's given you the responsibility to take care of it. Amen. So if you don't have a personal trainer, you go see Brother Travis and take care of your body. I mean, there's your commercial.
Right.
It's online. Travis Inman, you find him. He works at Gold's Gym and other places as well. Do you have a website? No, not yet. You get a website. You can find his wife on Facebook and look him up. Get you some personal training going on. So gambling is often plain superstition. It often involves lucky numbers, lucky systems, keeping your fingers crossed, things like that. Let's see what God's word has to say about this. In Isaiah 47, verses 12 and 13. I know we're going over, but hey, we'll just stop when people start coming in. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth, labored in sorceries. For so thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou wert wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and stargazers and monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. This is when the Lord was talking about judgment that was going to come. He said, hey, you like listening to those stargazers and those astrologers, that your astrology, that, by the way, astrology was around back then too. He says, you like listening to that stuff and your monthly prognosticators? Hey, have them stand up and save you now when I send my judgment upon you. Obviously, they're not going to be saved by that. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that God works things together for what? For good. To them that love him. Amen. And 5:7, the casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I've already given you the answers there. Casting all your care upon him. Very good. One word that needs to disappear from the Christian's vocabulary is luck. Unless it's some guy's last name or something. Luck plays no part in our Heavenly Father's loving and providential care for his own. I think it's funny that the Colts got a quarterback named Luck. Pastor Graham said back when Luck started there and Manning left, he said, yeah, the Colts really need Luck. Now they have it. But now we understand the idea here. We also understand the Bible talks about time and chance happens to people. That's, you know, there is a certain matter of chance and possibility and things like that in life, but we don't live our lives based upon luck, based upon possibility. Rather, we base our lives upon sureties, the sure word of God and what we know is right. We also understand that there are things that we can't control, that we don't know about, that we don't know how it's going to work out or what's going to happen. And so we just understand that God's going to take care of us in those situations. We may talk about worry at some point. That very much is involved. And that's the same Same thing, same similar concept. We cast our care upon him. We know that he's going to work things together for our good because we love him. According to John 19, verses 23 and 24 says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. So the Roman soldiers gambled for the clothes of the crucified Lord. They were completely unaware of the event transpiring in their presence. When anyone is consumed with self-interest, they are most insensitive to the things of the Lord. Resist any temptation to win something. Avoid gambling as an enemy of your soul. Lean wholly upon the Lord for everything good. By the way, along with that, there's so much more that we could talk about on this subject. But with this, on this subject, you know, there are examples, good examples in the Bible of casting lots. You know, the Bible says the lot is cast into the lap, but the Lord is, let's see, something about the disposing thereof is of the Lord. But that would take a whole other study, a whole other time. But the idea here is they weren't casting lots to win a lottery. They were casting lots to figure out what the Lord's direction was. And they would use the Urim and the Thummim, which were two stones that the high priest carried. And when they didn't know, when they didn't have it written down what they were supposed to do, they would cast lots for it to find out what the Lord's will would be. And they trusted that God was going to dispose or show his will through that. And it was something that God set up, and there was a purpose for that. But it wasn't so that somebody could win $1 million. Any questions or comments on this? No, we talked about it. It was a pretty interactive study. No questions, comments, concerns? No? All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you do take care of us, that we don't have to play games of random chance to try to gain wealth, but you give us the ability to work and to take care of ourselves. And Lord, when we're feeble and cannot work, you give us wisdom in your word on how that's supposed to pan out, how people are to be taken care of. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord, to put this to practice in our lives. May we not be greedy. May we not be looking to gain wealth as our main concern. But Father, we just pray, Lord, that we'd be looking to bring glory to you and to walk in your ways, and that we would be good stewards of all that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.